The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw Dating, preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys, and broadcasting live from Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star.
Welcome to a Wednesday off-season edition of Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw, the preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. Haley Sutton, Jess Navarez, and I don't know who this is sitting across from me, but can we talk about a baddie with total makeover? What's up, Aisha?
Can you please not make a scene?
Oh, I can't help it, girl. I came in here looking all fire.
Yeah, make a scene. Please. Own it. Make the scene.
Please. No, it was just time for a change. If you guys don't know me, I am a household baldy locks, and I couldn't do all that hair for that much longer, so here we are.
You look amazing.
Thank
look
you.
Very
ladies.
Good. We love it. We love a lady who embraces naturality and a bald head. I wish I could be that brave, but I'm not. But Aisha, not the only one making changes. Obviously, the Cowboys have been hard at work.
Beautiful segment.
Did you like that?
Gosh, Haley!
We need to start doing the show on Wednesdays.
That was amazing. I loved that. Oh, my goodness. Smooth. That was smooth.
It has been such a busy couple of weeks for this organization, for this front office. One of the things we talked about, Aisha, when we were at the Combine and when we spoke with Shireen, she said that this season and the would be kind of defined by what they do in free agency. And I have not forgot that since she mentioned that, because I was like, you're right. You know, we've done a lot, you know, in years past, but it's the free agency. I think that's really kind of been the hang up. And we went from kind of tapping on our watch like that Judge Judy gif to now it's like we're all over the place with signing. So a lot has changed. We're going to talk offense first, and then we'll segue into defense. Obviously, though, with Ezekiel Elliott leaving last week, that left space for a new running back to come in. We had a little bit of a surprise yesterday with Ronald Jones signing. He wanted to be the one that broke the story, actually, but I think he took a little bit too long to get it on social. But nonetheless, Ronald Jones, running back who has spent time at USC, or that's where he went to college, but he spent time with the Bucks, and he was just recently with the Kansas City Chiefs on a one-year deal. He now joins the Cowboys and teams up with Tony Pollard. What kind of signing does this do for the Cowboys running back room?
So for me, it's kind of, to me, with what he brings and how he plays the game, he has some burst. He has he mentioned in his interview with you just the change of speed and being able. He has a quick turnover, so his legs move fast. But he has a little bit of power to him. I think this also keeps that running back room honest. One thing we've seen about the McCarthy regime is that they're big on competition. So when you start looking at training camp and preseason games and guys like that, like you want to have bodies in that room. But also, too, with the loss of Ezekiel Elliott, you bring in another guy that's a little bit, has that physical element to him a little bit. I don't know, just I can't believe that Ronald Jones is like, I feel like it's been real quiet from him. Like, I was sitting there, I was like, he said another championship. Well, he said bring a chip to Dallas. I was like, oh, I forgot he's a champion. Like,
yeah. And to be fair, I didn't forget, but I did forget in that moment that he has two Super Bowl championships. Right. And that's such an important aspect when you think about bringing in guys. You know, we talk about the veteran leadership that a lot of these, you know, experienced guys bring. But what you don't think about is having a championship mentality. And so now you've got a two-time Super Bowl champ in Jones. You've got a Super Bowl champ and former Defensive Player of the Year in Stephon Gilmore. And now you're bringing in a Brandon Cooks, who we'll get to in a minute. But I love that you point that out, because that is such an important aspect that I think free agency in the past for this team has really lacked.
Yeah, he's, and also too, what he's gonna do is gonna allow Tony to get some breaks, like, you know, just to like a relief pitcher. I don't really do the baseball like that, but like, yeah,
I don't either. Isn't that, you're asking the wrong person.
Well, my bad.
What did you say?
A relief pitcher.
Ain't that
it
is? Yeah. So he's
sixth, seventh inning, depending on how well the starter's pitching.
I mean, he'll come in, he'll play some downs, he'll take some of the stress off of Tony Pollard. And also, too, more importantly, as we'll discuss, this allows the Cowboys to not be pigeonholed at, we got to draft a receiver a running back super early. It's a lot in this draft.
And I think more than anything, it intacts that 1-2 punch to continue to be a threat for the Cowboys offense, because we saw the success that it had last season when you're not wearing down your running back's body by putting all of the snaps in his hands. And so when you can protect the longevity of a player's health and really ensure that Tony Pollard stays healthy, Rojo's going to stay healthy, Rico Dowdle, maybe we have a 1-2-3 punch.
You
could see that too. I mean, you even have Malik Davis still in the mix. So as far as the competition, it's going to light a little fire there to see who wants that 1-2 punch starting position.
Yeah, and you think about, too, even the layers that go into the draft and what you're going to bring into. We've talked so many times about the talent that this draft class really has from the running back position. So it'll definitely be easy, or it'll definitely be fun to see kind of how that running back room kind of sets up. What I think is interesting about this is, you know, we kind of knew going in that Tony Pollard was going to be the starter this year. But to me, it makes me feel like this is going to be Tony Pollard's season, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like we've seen what he's done on the field. He's not incredibly vocal, which is fine because some of the best leaders aren't always vocal. But I really think that this gives him an opportunity to really kind of step up, to take over the reins that Zeke left behind. And now you're factoring in another guy who, again, has that Super Bowl experience, has a good personality. And when I was talking to his talking to Ronald's mom and uncle off to the side while he was doing some stuff with our social media team, one of the things that his uncle pointed out was this is a really unique opportunity for him because not only is he back home, he graduated from McKinney North High School and spent most of his time growing up here in the Dallas area. So you have a guy who already has a fan base, so to speak. He's relatable because he's from here. He's kind of gone up and down through the NFL roller coaster, if you will. And he's going to have an immediate impact. You know what I mean? Like, and it's difficult because a lot of times when you bring these guys in, you know, even from a draft standpoint, you don't know what their impact is going to be. You're kind of banking on them having training camp to give them that opportunity to show what they can do. I think with the free agency signings this year, because of who's left, it really gives these players an opportunity to come in and make a big impact and also kind of carve out a name for themselves too. And that's kind of the vibe that I got from Ronald yesterday.
Yeah, and I loved that we would use that analogy of the thunder and the lightning with Zeke and Tony, because you look at Tony being a silent leader, that's more like lightning because that doesn't make any noise. And then you had the thunder with Zeke, who was a more vocal leader in the locker room. So I think you need to keep that balance because it's very important to be able to keep that leadership and that balance. And somebody like Rojo, I mean, that statute of winning a championship and multiple with that, that is going to hold value and power within that locker room because those guys in there, they're hungry. They want it. Every single guy in that locker room wants to end the drought in Dallas. And so I think that's important. And I'm excited to see Tony Pollard step up into this new role and not so much be in Zeke's shadow. Not that he was, but, you know, when he was on his up and up, it was mostly, oh, Tony Pollard's coming? Oh, what is this we're seeing? And people were kind of questioning, you know, how much of a role he would have. And then the last couple of seasons, you saw him really step into that. And so I'm excited to see him really take over that running back position, not with Zeke. And it's still, yes, we know, it's emotional not to have Zeke, but I'm excited for the opportunity that it presents Tony Pollard and to be that leader and to take on that role. And so let's get it.
Yeah,
let's get it.
What we asked for, like, for Tony Pollard in particular, watching him come out of college, he ran behind, like, a lot of guys. I think he was, like, the third running back in Memphis, and as talented as he was. Mm-hmm. And so this will be, if I'm not mistaken, this is his opportunity to be a starter. I think this will be one of his first times being a starter in his latter part of his career. So just getting to see him in this capacity, Cowboys fans have been asking, see him on the field more. I want to see him on the field more snaps. Hey, 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 hey. Listen, it's about to happen. You about to get what you asked.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, I'm also very, very excited for Tony Pollard to show that he can be an every down back, that he is capable. I think he's gotten labeled as like this scat back, but he showed plenty of time last season. He's not afraid to dip his shoulder. He's not afraid to be physical if he needs to be, and that he can take some work.
And you saw the impact of not having Tony Pollard in the San Francisco game. So, and Jerry even said at the combine, he said, you know, not
dang,
that
Jess.
One player makes, you know, that much of a difference, and they shouldn't. Everybody should be able to step up, and you shouldn't see a drop off essentially. But, you know, we all saw what happened in that second quarter after he was out, and it feels like he became I think it was solidified. He was the heart of your offense when it comes to keeping everything together and keeping the scheme and the game plan raveled, if you will.
Malik Davis is still here, yes?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, yeah. You got it. Yeah.
You have versatility in your running
back. Go draft a guy if you want.
Yeah. I'm not so much worried about the run game. And I think, too, when you factor in, you know, a new OC who has experience being here, he's seen what Kellen was able to do or not do with that run game. And then you've got a Mike McCarthy who's committed to using the run more often. I think this, like I said, this fares very well, not only for Tony, but for Ronald as well. And then you add in the wide receiver that we have been quietly talking about and not so talking about for the last couple of months now. Brandon Cooks, finally a Dallas Cowboy. And I loved when Nick Eatman did the interview with him last week. He literally said, I know, I'm like,
I didn't mean to laugh that hard. It was funny.
Yeah, weird. But anyways, when he did the interview with Brandon, he said, you know, like, this is kind of something that has maybe been in the works, you know, kind of just teasing it. And you could just see Brandon's face kind of light up a little bit. So it's exciting to be here. And the reoccurring theme with all of these free agents that I've loved is that they either have a past being a Cowboys fan, or they have a tie to the Cowboys, or everybody wants to play for the Cowboys. And that's kind of been exactly, you know, what Stephon Gilmore told us last week. It's what Brandon said in his interview. Ronald even yesterday mentioning that he was a former Cowboys fan. His mom showed me a cute little picture of him, like in a little Cowboys hat, growing up. So just the ties that this organization has to these players who, you know, I mean, when you think about playing for the Texans, it's a rivalry, if you will, you know, anytime you're facing off against an in-state opponent. But something that I saw on Twitter whenever I posted that we were doing our show today, I asked people, you know, what are some thoughts that you have about this free agency, and what are some things you've liked? What are some things you don't like? Someone pointed out that they are still a little bit frustrated that there hasn't been any OBJ or DeAndre Hopkins signings yet. And so I was thinking about this on the drive here, because obviously I still wouldn't mind having, you know, another addition to that wide receiver room, because to your point, you can never have too much talent, right? But I was trying to think, you know, what does Brandon offer that maybe those two don't? And what does Brandon maybe need that those two offer? So, Aisha, I kind of want to defer to you because you're our resident film expert. When you look at Brandon Cooks and you look at his body of work, he's bounced around the league for several years, but he's got good experience. He's got 6 1,000-yard receiving seasons. When you look at Brandon Cooks' body of work, are you happy with that? Are you happy with not having an OBJ and a DeAndre because you have Brandon? Or where does he kind of stack up when you're looking at those other free agents?
Okay, so with Brandon, I think that you're getting, obviously you're getting a versatile player, but you talked about him being a veteran, him being experienced. He knows where he's supposed to be on the field. I think he's very QB friendly with how he fights back to the ball. But he also has something that the NFL is definitely looking for constantly, and that's speed. And not only does he have speed, he knows how to use that speed in his route running, in how he separates. And that's something that we talked about so much last season, was the lack of separation that you had in this receiving room. I think that he brings an underneath guy, just kind of similar to how we were talking about T.Y., but he just has an explosiveness to him that can't be replicated. And some guys can do it on, like, in their 40 and all this stuff, but this guy can do it on tape. We've been looking for someone to take the top off, and he can do that. Now, Odell can do that as well. I think Odell's shifty as well, but then when you factor in, okay, well, Odell's coming off of ACLs. Brandon Cooks does not have an extensive history of injury. He definitely has a durability in his game, and that is why he's been traded. That's why he's been traded, because when he goes to teams, he's productive, he's there, he's vocal, and I've did some digging too, just like as far as the character and stuff like that, because a lot of people are like, well, why is he always getting traded? What's wrong with him? And then obviously how things ended in Houston and whatever. So it's like, this guy is also healthy for your locker room. And I think that's important. Not only is he healthy for the team, he's healthy for the locker room. And so we've talked about that numerous times. I think that played a huge factor in him coming here. Now with DeAndre Hopkins, I think D-Hop can still ball. I think he's still the dude. But he does strike you as more of the possession-like receiver. He's not going to. Can he get separation? Yeah. Is he going to separate greatly? Absolutely not. That's not his game. He's contested ball, 50-50 guy. Like, he's going to catch everything that you throw at him. But With this offense and what they're trying to go to, I think, with Mike McCarthy and the quick bubble screens and quick game type stuff, he fits this. And so I think that Brandon Cooks is a very good fit for what they're trying to do offensively and what you're looking to add to this wide receiver core that already has some 50-50 guys, already has some guys that can win one-on-one in some areas. You wanted to add a guy that could kind of do a little bit of everything, and that's this dude right here. I like him. I like Brandon Cooks a lot.
And don't get it twisted either. Just because of his last season stats, it doesn't make him a bad receiver. Keep in mind, he was playing for the Texans, and the only time the Texans really showed up last season was to play the Cowboys. That was their Super Bowl. We had talked about it. They treated it as such. And so what I really liked when I was looking into Brandon Cooks is, you know, sometimes things in this business of the NFL don't just turn out like they go to their first team and that's where they stay. Sometimes they have a little bit of a journey. And I think for Brandon Cooks, I respect that he's been traded and he's been to different places because that gives him more of a versatile mindset to be able to work under different offensive schemes and learn how to adjust.
That is a good point.
And I really, I appreciate that out of him. And you know what? If he wanted to play in Dallas, he's going to play harder playing here. He saw what it would be like in that Texans game to play in Dallas. I mean, I'm telling you, they were preparing with everything they had for that game. And so, you know, I'm really excited to see what he's going to bring. And not only that, but we talked about the veteran leadership nonstop. And that was something that I think I was texting you guys in the pregame notes that we do about this. But I think bringing in these veterans early on is going to make a longer impact, because what we saw last season was, yes, the veteran leadership was brought in, but a little bit later in the season. So I'm excited to see him be able to work with the receiver room through training camp, through, you know, OTAs, all of the things, because now you get that extra time and you get that time with veterans that have been in different places, that know how to give you good advice, and you get to absorb that even more like a sponge. So even veterans on the Cowboys team now, Michael Gallup can learn some things. You can see, you know, the younger guys, Jalen Tolbert, Semi Fiokko,
sure,
which is a name you don't really hear much of anymore. You're allowing these guys, even Kevontae Turpin, if he wants more of an offensive role, which he said he has this offseason, you're allowing those guys more time to be better with a guy like this in training camp, not just during the season's hustle.
You mentioned a really good point. I'm sorry, Haley, before you go, you mentioned that Brandon Cooks has been through, you know, going to other teams and being traded away. I really do think it's important that the Cowboys were looking at him last season and were trying to pursue him last season. Say what you want to say, but there's something about feeling wanted somewhere, right?
Reach.
Or feeling
anywhere.
Like, or feeling like, hey,
anything in life.
I'm coming in to tell you that his role here has kind of, I think we have a good idea. Like, this is, he's intended to be this number two receiver. Number one, that's going to take some stress off of CeeDee Lamb. It's going to take some stress off him always having to be the number one guy. And if he's getting the second corner, he's probably excited. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to say that I think that I would hope that we get a very good version, probably the best version of the Archer Brandon Cooks, being that he is desired to be in this offensive game plan and what they're trying to do moving forward. I think that's important for him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this offense shapes up.
That was my Archer impression.
We've got to go ahead and take our first break here on Girls Talk, Boys Talk, but I want to kind of get into the defense when we come back, and we'll talk about a quiet addition to the offensive line that I don't think really has gotten a lot of conversation about it. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break here on Girls Talk, Boys Talk.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that sixth ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation, so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today. Dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Pepsi-loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can. Now, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a fourth and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by six with the recycling bin wide open. Know the difference? Make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at Blockchain.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To Girls Talk, Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw, the preferred dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys. Haley Sutton, Jess Navarez, Aisha Morrison, talking a little Cowboys free agency today. But first, let's hear what Jess has to say.
Register now for the 2023 Dallas Cowboys Youth Camps presented by Invisalign. Athletes ages 6 to 16 are invited to learn from the best this summer at AT&T Stadium or Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. Football camps are led by former NFL players, and cheer camps are taught by current Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. Save $25 when you sign up for camp by May 12th. Visit DallasCowboys.com/camps for more info.
Thank you so much, Jess. So I was going to say Jessica, but then realized that you hated Jessica. Then I was like, Jess. Yeah.
You don't like being called your name.
No, here's the thing. It's too long, first of all. It's too long because I have a pretty long last name. So Jessica Navarez. That's just a lot. And then my mom, when I was
little.
It's only
one syllable more than me.
It's too much.
Aisha Morrison. Damn, Aisha.
To me, it's just.
Baby.
It's just too much. And not only that, when I was younger, my mom would. Like, my family, for the most part, calls me Jessie, but, like, when they're mad at me, they're like, okay, Jessica.
Oh,
so it's
yeah.
just one of those things that I feel like people say when they're mad at me. So I'm like, what did I do?
Oh,
they
sorry.
Call
no.
You
no, it's okay. Yeah, my whole family calls me Jessie back home. Isn't that weird?
I wasn't prepared for Jessie.
Really?
You ain't told me Jessie.
Yeah, I mean, there's more embarrassing nicknames that go along with Jessie. If you just start rhyming, that's pretty much what my family calls
I
me.
I literally wish I could have taken a screenshot of this interaction just now, because the way you were so... upset.
I just felt a little betrayed that,
why?
Like, I didn't know that your nickname was Jessie.
Yeah, my whole family back home, even like my best friend, her family still calls me Jessie from when we were little.
No.
So it's just like a back home that's my family.
I like to know everybody aliases.
Oh, Jessie's in the ear. So y'all can stick to Jess.
Okay.
We're good without saying Jessie.
All
we're
right.
Good.
I wasn't prepared.
Because then you start in with, like, the Jessie's Girl thing, and, everybody sings it. It's just too much.
Was that a song?
Yes, but we're not going to talk about it. Instead, we're going to talk about the Cowboys' offensive line.
Love that more.
How it's shaping up a little bit. So, obviously, with the departure of Connor McGovern to the Bills a couple of weeks ago, it left that guard spot open. We've talked about Tyron Smith as well, kind of being a swing. I don't think he's really going to be that swing tackle, so that's going to be a question mark as well. But the good news is... Cowboys just signed a guy who can play guard or tackle.
What he gonna be then?
We'll see.
Ooh,
that's
why
we gonna see.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if Tyron's not gonna be a swing, he's gonna be. Cause that's the thing. Well, sorry. Go ahead.
We'll get to that in a minute. But let's talk a little bit about Chuma Edoga, a guy that the Cowboys, like I said, just very quietly signed yesterday. He was drafted by the Jets way back in 2019. He has since spent some time. I thought it was a little bit further back, but anyway. It doesn't matter.
Be a little rusty, my bad.
Here's something, though, that I found interesting about this, and it has nothing to do with his playability. But in that same draft, Connor McGovern was taken two spots before Chuma in the third round. So it's kind of interesting how things come full circle. But he hasn't played a ton, 26 career games, 13 starts. He only had one last year with the Falcons. He did have a season-ending knee injury last year, though. That is a little bit concerning because we just talked about that. He has played mostly tackle, but again, he's a guy who you can rotate around. That was kind of the name of the game last year with the offensive line towards the end of the season. But I really think this provides that offensive line the opportunity to be flexible going into the start of the season rather than towards the back half of the season, because now you have an opportunity to kind of plug and chug guys and mix them around. To your point, figure out where Tyron Smith is going to fit best versus where Chuma's going to slide in. You know, how are we going to mix some of the other guys onto the offensive line? So I think this is quietly a very good signing for this team.
Yeah, and it's like you talked about, it's a depth piece. It's a guy that has some experience. I looked at him. He's pretty good in the run game. Like me and my homie Matt Owen did some study on him and looking at him in the run game and how he works and stuff. And I think also, too, he's another guy that the Cowboys were looking at last year that they ended up circling back to. So, yeah, when you talk about depth and especially going into the draft, kind of trying to shore up some of these positions, I would assume he is a left side player. But there are just so many questions for me right now currently about, is Tyron going to be the starter there? Are they going to slide Tyler to guard? What's going to happen there? And I think that Chuma is kind of plays into that, and we'll start to see more of what their vision is for this offensive line, predominantly on that left side with him coming in.
And you also can't have enough versatility. We learned that last season, is you can't have enough guys, you can't have enough versatility. And the fact that we're even having this debate, left or right, which side is he going to be on? I think that's already a really good sign that he's going to fit very well and cohesively on this offensive line. I also think where he is going to heavily depend on maybe the Jason Peters free agency signing, seeing if they can shore him back up on this team. Because if that's the case, you have your swing with Jason Peters like you did last season. We know Jason Peters isn't necessarily like a full snap, full game kind of guy unless you need him to be. He's going to find a way to do it. It's just the question mark if Jason Peters is going to not only maybe stay in Dallas, but, I mean, is he going to call it a career? We don't know. We don't know yet. There's a lot of question marks around that. But I think another name that just entered the chat that makes things very interesting is Isaac Alacon. I think that is going to be very interesting to see him. Or he went defense, so I guess not so much anymore. But, again, versatility. You're talking about a guy that can go from an offensive line to a defensive line? Hello. Beautiful. I mean, I love this. But I think it depends on really what you're going to see more so with Jason Peters and then that right tackle position with Tyron Smith. I mean, we don't know that the future of that, I guess, position, considering the background that Tyron has with the health.
Yeah, here's my thoughts. I thought that Jason played fine in the Texans game, and I think because that was an opportunity for him to help them figure it out, because respectfully, like, Matt Ball just wasn't it, right? Like, that but Josh Ball just wasn't the answer in that game. I don't know if he's the answer going forward. He's obviously still on the roster, but I don't know that Jason Peters' value here is going to be the same this season as it was last year, just because, number one, you saw how long it took him to get ramped up into playing games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it took him 6 weeks. Was the Eagles game his first game? Mm-hmm. So it took him 6 weeks to get into the lineup. From there, it was another 3 weeks of a ramp-up period, and where you were mixing him in, you know, kind of wherever he saw fit as a sub. And then down the stretch, between injuries and just not playing well, and then you had another guy in Tyron Smith who was still kind of banged up, and they were trying to figure out, you know, who was going to be in that position. I just don't know, for the value of what you got from him last year, we clap, we give him flowers, but sometimes these guys are really just plug and chug for one season.
Yeah.
And I think when you see the signing that was Chuma, to me, that's kind of where I see Jason Peters' role kind of evaporate. Because now, like, that's what I was doing while y'all were talking.
Point.
I basically just wrote out the offensive line of what you could potentially see, right? And obviously,
can we talk about how good your penmanship is, too?
This is, like, you know, kind of interchangeable, right? But then you have all this depth over here as well. I just don't know. I don't know where Jason Peters fits. I really don't. And to your point, I also still am confused where Tyron Smith plays, because we loved how Tyler played this past season. So do you want to take him away from that, you know, guard position and move him back over, or move him from the tackle position back over to guard? Do you have him learn that all over again? So it's definitely that to me, the Tuma signing kind of solidified that we
like nail
probably
in the coffin kind of
won't
thing.
See Jason Peters come back.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I definitely think
that's
that
fair.
He's that left side player that they want to have in there just in case something happens with either of those guys for right now, and it makes sense. And also too, I mean, like we talked about, Chuma's not some old dude. Like he's mm-hmm. not some he's a young guy, so he has the ability to come in here and get some coaching, get better, maybe get with a Duke Manyweather while he's here, like all these other guys do in this mm-hmm. offensive line room, and improve his play and see if he is somebody. Like again, if he was on their radar last year, it says something. So maybe they want to get him in here and get with these coaches and see what he's capable of moving forward, even just being a formidable swing or backup, because we've talked about it, offensive line, good offensive line, is hard to come by in this league right now.
Yeah,
so,
it's needed.
Yeah.
To get your run game going like you're wanting, it all trickles back down. And
you
mentioned Matt Owen and his tweet that he put out. Shout out to Matt for this. He said last season with the Falcons, during that one start that Chuma did have, he had a 77.8 PFF grade, 84.9 run block, 62.5 pass block. With one start, he only allowed one pressure and no quarterback hit. So that tells you, you know, although he hasn't played much, he can plant his feet. He's going
to
make sure Dak stays protected.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, that's going to be a position group that I think we haven't talked a ton about, just because when you think about the Cowboys O-line, you think Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, right? But you have to recognize that those guys are getting up there, especially Tyron. Like, you, if I could have one wish for this season that's not get the Cowboys to the Super Bowl, it's keep Tyron Smith healthy, because I think that solves so many of your problems when you have him playing healthy and playing at the high level that he can play to. So that's my wish for the Cowboys this season. We also have the pleasure of welcoming CJ Goodwin back.
What
again,
a good
another
win.
Sneaky kind of signing that the Cowboys got done. And it just goes back to our first block and the point of, you know, that this front office is serious. I think they recognized over the last 2 years what they've built. And now it feels like between, you know, the free agency signings that the Joneses are working out, what Will McClay is cooking up in that draft coming up, and what we saw out of him and heard from him at the Combine. Now you're mixing in one of the most important and underrated parts of the game in special teams. Now, I didn't know CJ Goodwin had been in the league for as long as he had. I mean, I knew he'd been here for a while, but he's been
crazy
in the league for 8 years. I mean, he's 2 years out of being a decade player, and that is something that you don't typically think about a ton. But when you talk about an impact player, a consistency guy, I think that that was a signing as well, kind of like Dono, where like you needed to get that done.
Vocal leader on special teams. I really appreciate. I know he understands what's going on, because he will teach us in the locker room. He's mm-hmm. If you ask him a question, he will tell you some of the nuances of special teams. And there's just so many things that goes on that side of the ball. You got to be a little crazy to play special, to be a full-time special teamer. You got to be a little nuts. So I appreciate what he brings to the team. But also, too, it allows Bones to retain one of his guys. He could be losing some of his special teams guy. He did. He lost Luke Gifford.
Noah Brown,
who's a guy who's on special teams very often. So to retain him and to have him in this locker room to kind of keep the standard of what they expect on that ball, I think on that side of the ball, was important.
And we know how much special teams can have an impact on games, right? It's very underappreciated how much special teams can make a domino effect for this game and outcomes of games. And so what I really appreciate about CJ Goodwin and this signing is it guarantees that, you know, Bones does get more time with these guys to be able to guarantee that you're, you know, when the offense is getting ready to go on, you have that good field position and ready to shore up your offense. Now you have some shiny new players on the offensive side of the ball, and you know, you get that run game going, but you're not putting Dak in a position where he has to throw those giant bombs across. And it's beautiful when it works out, but you're taking less pressure essentially off of your quarterback by getting him in a good position by using and utilizing the veterans like CJ Goodwin on special teams.
Yep. It's an extension of the offense, special teams.
We love special teams. And it matters.
Can change the game.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like I said, it's quietly one of the most important parts of the game, and I think that this is an organization that really puts a lot of emphasis on that as well. I was trying to scroll through and see, because there's been so much movement, and one of the things that we haven't even touched on that we should have, obviously, Dalton Schultz no longer with us in Dallas. That didn't come out right. Dalton Schultz is no longer a Cowboy, is what I meant. He made the trip down the road to the Houston Texans. But we kind of saw it coming. Yeah. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think with Dalton, too, like, respectfully, I mean this in the most respectful way possible, like, he got so too big for his boots when he was going through the franchise tag negotiations. I knew that he had been offered a ton of money, but I didn't realize that they had offered him, like, a three-year, $36 million deal. Yeah.
Which is nuts, because even looking at the market for tight end right now, he might have been overpaid at that point.
Yeah, he would have been
overpaid if they would have paid him that. Yeah,
and then you're looking at cap space even this season. You've seen, you know, multiple guys at this point restructuring contracts. It could have been a cap casualty to have, you know, looking back in hindsight, it could have been a cap casualty to have been paying him as much money as that deal was last season to come into this season. You might not have been able to see those splash signings like Gilmore and Cooks, and you might not have seen all of that. So things happen for a reason, and it is what it is for Schultz. We wish him the best.
We wish him the best. Do you?
Have fun.
We do. Yes. But here's where this gets tricky, though, because as greedy as Dalton was, I think to a degree he felt like he deserved it. And obviously that was reflected in the quarterback, right? Dak Prescott loved throwing to Dalton. He was kind of his go-to guy. The problem with Dalton is that we've talked about his yak ability. It's like...
Yep. Not there.
Yeah.
So that's obviously leaving the path open for a Jake Ferguson to kind of step in and be that tight end that we want Dalton to be. He wasn't really that. He was more of all reliable, I think. But I think when you get a Jake Ferguson in there and a Peyton Hendershot, like, those guys have proven to be ballers. So.
And I think, to be fair, though, looking back at his 2021 season, he was balling. He really was. And he was that guy for that season because Blake Jarwin was out at that point. He had to be that guy. So he did step up the 2021 season. He had 808 total yards, for 78 receptions. And he was targeted 104 times, the most in his career at that point. Played all 17 games. And then you look at the 2022 season, that significantly drops. You went from 808 yards to 577, still a good amount of yardage, targeted 89 times, but enters the chat Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot, because, you know, not to say he wasn't utilized. I think Dalton Schultz was utilized in the offense, but you also saw the ability that these younger guys have for that yak ability. You saw Jake Ferguson plowing through people and, you know, I think I miss
Jake. He's such a presence in this building.
I just think Dalton should have taken his deal when he had the chance, but good luck in Houston.
Yeah, he developed into a more than formidable, above average tight end. Like, mm-hmm. he can play the game at a high level, but unfortunately, the position is changing. Mm-hmm. The value of the position is changing. And with this upcoming draft, we've been talking about, I'm sure we're going to talk about it in the next hour on the draft show, it's just how many tight ends that are good in this draft. And so it really hurt him. Like, he can't see the future. He couldn't see that these tight ends, these young tight ends coming out, were going to be this good. But when you look across the draft, you're like, what am I going to pay somebody? What am I going to pay somebody top dollar for? Yeah.
It'll. You have to remember, too, he was hurt for the first half of the season, too. I think he missed, three games? Two back-to-back and then came back and then missed another. Yep. So we wish him well, but the new wave is on. It's all about Peyton and Jake.
Penny and Ferg,
baby. Yep. All right, we're going to take our final break here on Girls Talk, Boys Talk. When we come back, I want to talk about some of these guys who are still free agents with the Cowboys organization right now. Do they need to come back? Are we good to say goodbye? And then maybe we'll get into a little bit of roster talk if we have some time, our ideal starting lineup. This is Girls Talk, Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw.
At Jigsaw Dating, we obviously want the Cowboys to bring that sixth ring home. But to be honest, we're more focused on finding the person who will put a ring on your finger. That's why we created a dating app that reveals your face through meaningful conversation, so you can date deeper. Because it's personality that matters the most, not looks. Join Jigsaw Dating today, dating partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Pepsi-loving football fans, it's time we had a lesson in trash talk. And I'm not talking about that stuff that happens on the field. What I'm talking about is trash, and it's the only thing that belongs in your garbage can.
Now, recycling might not be as thrilling as converting a fourth and long, but next time you're thinking about throwing that Pepsi Zero Sugar bottle away, just cap it back up and pretend you're down by six with the recycling bin wide open. Know the difference? Make a difference. Be a team player and recycle. Visit PepsiTrashTalk.com to learn more.
With Smoothie King's original Angel Food and new Angel Food Slim without added sugar, you no longer have to choose between treating yourself and hitting your goals this summer. You don't have to choose between great taste and feeling great. Because at Smoothie King, every blend is made with whole fruits and no syrups, so you can satisfy your cravings without compromise. The only choice you will need to make is which one is best for you. Try our classic Angel Food or the new Angel Food Slim, blended without added sugar. Smoothie King, rule the day.
To our final few minutes here on Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw. Let's go over to Jess.
All right, well, get your spring shopping in during Market at the Star, presented by Flea Style. Come to the Star in Frisco on Saturday, April 1st, and browse from over 50 local vendors, from fashion to home goods, jewelry, and more. Visit thestardistrict.com/events for even more information on that.
Sorry, y'all. I'm just a little rattled because this man on Twitter, y'all know.
His name's Ricky.
Y'all know. Hilarious. But also, like, I feel like Cowboys Nation by now, I've been here for almost a year, and I feel like Cowboys Nation knows, like, how important, like, fashion and looking nice is to me. Ricky Fontaine.
Ricky Fontaine.
I don't appreciate him roasting my nail situation on Twitter. I'm down bad at the minute. I'm going on vacation next week, so I'm waiting until the last minute to get the setup fixed. It will be addressed next time I see y'all.
Now you said you had a contusion.
Just for reference, we're talking. Haley posted this picture. I don't know if you can pull it up, Jess. Haley posted this picture of us on Twitter, and you see the Band-Aid on her nail there. And Ricky tweeted, Haley Sutton listed as probable finger contusion. Sources say has practiced all week and
will
play. I want
to know who's Ricky's sources are, because
he has great sources. You're playing. It's fine. You're playing. You're in. It's okay.
I'm about to go on IR.
No,
okay, let's
do this. Nail contusion.
Let's go. Right. Okay. Let's get back on track here. I just had to let y'all know that I'm down at the minute, but you can't stay down, and that's what's important. We'll be up next week.
Love that.
Let's get into kind of who's left on this free agent list for the Dallas Cowboys. All of these guys I am about to list are unrestricted free agents, and I want you, Aisha and Jess, to let me know who you think is important for this organization to keep on the roster, given what they have already done in free agency. Because I know we've talked about this before, but now obviously the roster's changed, situation's changed. So I'm going to list these guys. You guys let me know who you want to see back in a Cowboys uniform. Starting at the top, we've got linebacker Anthony Barr, cornerback Anthony Brown, tackle Jonathan Hankins, wide receiver T.Y. Hilton, kicker Brett Maher, long snapper Matt Overton, and tackle Carlos Watkins. I'm going to start with you, Aisha. Give me at least one name on this list that you think, in order for the Cowboys to win a Super Bowl, they need to come back.
Hankins. We did our sales pitch before the season, and that was my sales pitch. It wasn't even nothing fancy. It was just like, Jerry, you've seen the numbers. Like, stop playing. Like, y'all traded for him for a reason, and you saw the improvement in his play. He helps out the linebackers. He helps out the DNs. This is a defensive line that wants to get to the quarterback. He can eat up double teams. Bring his tail back here so we can talk to him in the locker room, because he's my guy. But he can play the game at a high level, and you saw the difference in the run defense when he was there. Cowboys have not invested at the nose tackle position in a while at a serious level. And so, yeah, I think he would also make it easier for them to go draft. So that is my guy. Yes. Jonathan Hankins.
I feel like I'm going to give the unpopular opinion here, because I'm not going to go the obvious route of Jonathan Hankins.
Are you going to say Brett Maher?
No, I'm
please
not.
Don't.
I'm not. No, I'm not.
Oh.
She thought, but this about is. It, I did. You said his name, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to write his name down. I'll put my pen down. No, seriously, though, the Cowboys do need to find a kicker to fill that situation. Anyways, I'm going to go, and this is debate, well, this is a debate fueled for Cowboys Nation because it is cornerback Anthony Brown. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I feel like he is so underappreciated for what he brings in that position. And Cowboys fans, just in, I'm not even going to single out Cowboys Nation. I'm going to say in general, I think the cornerback position is such a rare position that fans don't understand the nuances of how difficult of a position that is. You're basically playing receiver on the defensive side. So, you know, Trayvon gets a lot of flack for, you know, oh, he's so burned all the time. No, it's just how the position goes sometimes. But here's the thing. I want to bring Anthony Brown back because I don't think he was done. I think you were starting to see the peak of what Anthony Brown is able to do. And then, again, we cannot have enough versatility or depth on that kind of position. We saw what happened last season. And, you know, I don't really want to go back to that. I don't want to experience that again. I think Anthony Brown deserves his flowers. He's a veteran in that position. So if you can have more veteran leadership, veteran experience in a cornerback position, why would you not want that? I'm not saying he's our end-all, be-all cornerback. But you need versatility, you need depth in that position. I'm bringing Anthony Brown back if I have the choice.
I think if it's me and I'm looking at this list and I'm scrolling through, I think Anthony's super important. I think Hankins is obviously the number one thing on this list to get done, in my opinion. But I also think that it would be sneaky good to re-sign Matt Overton to another one-year deal.
Because you need a long snapper.
You need a long snapper. Jake McQuaid now with the Lions. So you need a long snapper. So at the very least, you know that this is a guy who has chemistry with your punter in Brian Anger. We don't know if Brett comes back. We feel pretty certain that he's not. So, but, you know, anything could happen. He could get re-signed in training camp as well. Yeah, I think the priority there is Hankins. I think Anthony Brown for me is such a question mark. And very similar to the Chuma signing with us adding Gilmore.
It's more for reassurance.
Yeah,
than
reassurance for sure. Thinking about the draft too, it's a question mark for me. But I agree. I don't disagree with anything you said. The last thing I want to talk about, and I'm going to go to Aisha for this because you've been pretty vocal on Twitter about it. Carlos Watkins is still unsigned. And I kind of want you just to explain the impact that he had, because I don't think a lot of people recognize what he brought to the table and why you think that he was such a valuable part of that defense last year.
Well, number one, and if we're going to just be very frank about it, let's just be very frank about it. Quentin Bohanna, Neville Gallimore, those gentlemen, I know that Quentin Bohanna dealt with some injuries last year. And if you hadn't brought Carlos Watkins back, I don't know what that would have looked like. He and Hankins, to me, were your best middle of the defense defenders as far as DT. And he also just talked about being humbled by being, you know, released before and being brought back. And I felt like he played with a chip on his shoulder. But he also is a guy that we talk about. He has experience within this system and knowing what DQ wants from them, what Coach Dirty wants from them. And so I felt like he was just such an intricate part of that run defense getting better, because he just knew his role and he knew what to do. And you need key role players. He was a key role player, and he played a big part in why the Cowboys' run defense began to uptick as the season went on, with Quentin Bohanna and Neville Gallimore having some issues, you know, really staying on the field and being productive. So I just wholeheartedly feel like, granted, he did deal with a calf? In the 49ers game, in the 49ers game, he dealt with an injury. Maybe that has something to do with why they haven't signed him yet. I do feel like he is a guy that they do have a rapport with, that maybe there's not like a huge rush there, but maybe there is some understanding. But he is a gentleman I would love to bring back for this defense to continue to build upon. Yes.
Real quickly, too, just looking at some of his stats. He played 12 games in the 2022 season, and he had 26 combined total tackles, two of which were tackles for loss. That equals out to his 2020 season. Well, almost equals out to his 2022 season, his best season, which was in Houston. He played 16 games and had 27 tackles during that time, four tackles for loss. So you're not too far off as a drop-off from your best season with only playing 12 games this last season. So, again, Dan Quinn effect, making these guys the best players they can be.
A lot of excitement for this Cowboys roster going into the 2023 season. As we know, though, it's only Wednesday, and These Cowboys made deals at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning. We will continue to monitor free agency. That'll do it for this edition of Girls Talk Boys Talk, presented by Jigsaw. For Aisha, for Jess, I'm Haley, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!